Babel, or some people say Babel. I think it's Babel because it represents Babylon. It is Babylon, and it's going to come back here at the end times. But I've had a question all my adult life that I got answered this week studying this scripture. You know, I've looked at, and you've probably heard that scientists say, philosophers, that we only use about 10% of our brains. Of course, Daddy would debate that if he was around for me. But I don't know if that's true or not, but the potential that we have, I've always wondered if we really have that potential, and we can. Why are all the movies and books about potential always the evil side? And there's movies out, and they get worse and worse about the more you know, the more wicked you are. And I'm probably leaning towards that. You know why? Because my answer that I got was that there's no good in man because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And God's not waiting for man to have potential to be good, because he's good. He is. And any potential that we have is going to be spiritual. Instead of building towers, we're going to help him, assist him in building the church. And this morning, my deepest desire that I've had in a long, long time is distinguish and talk a little better too. Distinguish between building a tower for ourselves and watching the Lord build a church. It's opposite. And in these two texts, we're going to find out a whole lot of information that we need to know on what God's will is for us. Before we get started, I want to ask you if you'd bow your heads as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for the songs that we've heard and even sang to be a part of. Thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for all those that are here. Lord, please reach down to us and bless our hearts. Water our souls. Lord, we need you this morning in so many ways. Help us, Lord, to understand your will for us as individuals, as a church. Help us to look around us and see what's going on in the world, and then look to your word to give us the answers that we need to explain each thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Genesis 11. The Bible says, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now Genesis 11, in this particular undertaking, happened between Noah and Abraham. And most of the study that I've been able to do and prove to my own heart is that probably 100 years after Noah's Ark, this happened. And I believe, like most people do, you can look at the genealogies and look at history, that Abraham and Isaac and Noah and these people in Genesis 11 probably lived at the same time for just a little while. The reason I say that is 100 years isn't a long time. And when somebody that was there like Noah and those that were born from his three sons could get exactly the truth of what happened when God sent the storm, there wouldn't be any translation lost like we have it today, because they spoke the same exact words, language, and everything was the same. The whole earth said the same words, understood the same ways. There wouldn't be any barriers like we have today to know exactly what happened and what God said and what he did about it. The whole world was destroyed 100 years before this. Without a doubt, there was only one man and his family that survived. And they survived because God delivered them. And before that, for 120 years, God sent the preaching out with Noah, didn't he? And warned and warned and warned. And they disobeyed God, didn't they? And every one of them, but those eight that was in the ark, drowned. What an awesome understanding of the truth. It really happened, didn't it? And in spite of all that knowledge, 100 years later, some men decided that they just didn't care. They weren't worried about it. They were going to be different. They were going to make them a tower. There was nothing stopping them. They had every resource that they could have. In verse 1 and 2, it says that they had one speech, one language. It said that they journeyed from the east, which always means they went away from God. Going from the east, going from God, is definitely going against the Lord. And they looked and found a plain, a flat place, where they knew who was coming and they could see what was going on. It was just the opposite of everything that was going on before the flood. And not only was it a plain, a flat place, they lived there. This is our place. And time came, they said one to another, let us make brick. You know why they had to make brick? Because they left the stones behind. They're stone cutters in the Bible that took the stones that were there already, that was there in the creation and everything, that they just cut them down a little bit and built. But we don't want their place. We don't want their resources. We don't want their mountains. We want to do everything ourselves. We want to make our own brick and make our own slime or mortar to build together. And we, let us, they said, we're going to build not just a city, but a tower, a religion, and a government that will reach to heaven, which is worshiping the stars, the moon, everything but God. That was a total rebellion completely. And the worst thing that they had was they wanted to make a name for themselves. Noah had a name, didn't he? Abraham's fixing to have a name. But they wanted to make a name for themselves because they were afraid that they would be scattered abroad. Why would they be afraid of being scattered abroad? Because in Genesis 1, Adam and Eve was told to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. When Noah came out of the ark in Genesis 9, verse 1, God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, replenish the earth. So everything at this point in making a tower, a group of people got together with fear and pride and begin to build. I don't know how far they got. I don't know how big it was. I don't know all the things about it, much at all than that. But I do know that they feared God. They could have feared God, couldn't they? Because they knew what God did just 100 years before, and they didn't care. My goodness, we look at the Bible, some of us, and we look back and we go, my goodness, how could they do that? How could they be that wicked and that evil, knowing that God is going to judge if you don't do what he says? I guess they thought maybe like we do, the more the merrier. I remember when I was a teenager in high school, because y'all still have study hall? Or detention, I called it. Daddy told me, you don't want detention? Oh, no, Daddy, that was study hall. And it wasn't right, it was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. But we, without a doubt, in that day and time when I was growing up, the thing that everybody said when somebody wanted to do something, they said they can't get everybody. And we did it. You know what happened? They got everybody. They did. They get every one of us. Now there's cameras and everything, isn't there? But what I want to start out with is how awful it is in this day and time especially to think that you can get together and make a name for yourself and go against God that recently destroyed the whole earth with a flood. And how awesome that must have been. It took some time. It took some preaching. It took some building of the ark. It was over a period of 120 years. But when God started, he finished it, didn't he? Everybody that wasn't on that ark died. They drowned, didn't they? And God started again. And 100 years later, here we come again. A tower of Babel, division, and chaos is the definition. And the problem that I have with this is we've got the same thing today, don't we? In the face of God, in the clear knowledge and will of God, today we have men that have decided that it doesn't matter what God says. If we get enough people, if we have our own resources, if we make a name for ourselves, we can just be as good as heaven. We can reach the personality, we can reach the fame, we can be just as powerful and known as God. But you see, there was a problem. Look at verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. I like that. The Lord came down. They were going up, but they couldn't get very high. But the Lord came down, didn't he? The Lord came down to see for himself, and he knew about it. That's just the language in the Bible to help us realize that God does time, take detail, takes notice, doesn't he? And he begins to do something. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, so I believe it was already finished. Just from that verse right there, God came down to see the city and the tower. We have a similar story in Matthew that Jesus says about the men that built their house on the sand and on the rock. Remember? They did get it built before it was destroyed, didn't they? There's a lot of folks that are building things right now, and you think I'm okay because God hasn't destroyed it. No, he's waiting for you to get done, isn't he? He waited for them to get done, and he came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men built. This was so good to me, sitting there studying, thinking and praying and praying. And I saw that the children of men built it. That stuck out to me, the children of men. I remember my kids and now my grandkids with Lincoln Logs and Legos. They were our Lincoln Logs from our time in Legos. They made things with them, didn't they? Creative. I got a grandson. He can make any, he can conjure anything up pretty much. I remember my son years ago. I guess he's about 8 years old. When he went to Walmart, he wanted a remote control car. I said, "Well, you're going to have to buy that with your own money." He said, "I got $40, Daddy." I said, $40? Where'd you get $40? Every day I'd come home from work, and I would take my keys, my wallet, and any change that was in my pocket and put it on the table by the bed. I'd get my wallet and my keys every morning, and I didn't pay attention that the money wasn't there, but he had, and been collecting it up and had $40. I said, "Well, you got $40, let's go buy you a remote control car." And what he bought when he got it home a week later, it wasn't what we bought. That little 8-year-old boy took wires and lights, and it had a siren and flashing lights, and he's driving. I said, "How do you do that?" I don't know. He's an engineer now, 37, 38 years old, and mechanical engineering degree, does a lot of work, drives everywhere. He was already, he started on it. But the children of men with their little Legos and their Lincoln Logs, building a tower. That's about what amounts to this. What we build and what we do, we have a problem. We have issues with really the scheme of things, don't we? It's amazing to me how people in their own minds can justify just about anything when they're building the tower. If they get enough people to go with them, if we get the majority, people think they can do just about whatever they want. But you know, the Bible says that's true. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." That's scary, isn't it? God said that. These men have got together the unity that they have. There isn't anything that they'll never be able to do that they've imagined. We've imagined to do a lot of things, huh? Just since the 60s, the space and all these things, the electric vehicles, all the stuff, even though some of it's not working right now, it could if God left it alone. But the first that God said this, look what he said in verse 7. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad from the face of all the earth. God took care of that, didn't he? And it wasn't difficult for God, was it? One thing he did was confound their language. Many, many, many different languages came out of this very instant. It didn't evolve. It wasn't anything that the world could prove by science. Just all of a sudden, one day, God came down and said the words, and they couldn't finish because nobody could understand each other. And every group that had the same language had to go off somewhere else in a different area of the world and start their own cities. That explains why there's different cultures in Japan and China and Italy, all these different countries and cities. That's where it started. And you take the flood. Remember the flood? All the geographical changes that we can prove now, how the water is deeper, the oceans are deep, mountains are higher, all these things, and it's a lot to it. I'm not got time today, no way. But the DNA and the genetics from the Tower of Babel, you might understand more than I do, but there's dominant and recessive genes when it comes to looks and all these things, isn't there? All that came out of this chapter right here that God made happen in an instant. There is no evolution. That proves it. God said it in an instant. Everybody started to speak different languages. And there was no more unity. Nobody had anything in common much at all. And they couldn't do anything. And that's what bothers me today. Is people that God in an instant has did something to open their eyes. And they don't see it. I mean, what would it take? I mean, they're all one language and one, and they built a city and a tower, and they defied God, and they went away from everything that was taught to them from Noah and all their forefathers, and they were going to be different, and they were going to get higher up in every way, government and politics, and God was not having any of it. And when God picked the time, he took their understanding away. And they couldn't do a thing but do God's will by scattering. They called it scattered, but God said replenish the earth. And they had to now, didn't they? They didn't do what God wanted to do and what he told Adam and Eve and what he told Noah to do to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now it's going to happen, isn't it? And it's helpful to understand this when you go to Acts chapter 2, that God didn't change Pentecost. He allowed preachers to preach in the tongues of those people that were there that had different languages. You see, this kind of stuff is never going to end. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil tells Eve without a doubt that the reason why God doesn't want you to eat this fruit is because he knows when you eat this fruit, your eyes will be open and you'll be as a god. That's where it started. And the devil got into these folks and says, you can build a tower. And what's going to happen later on from Babylon, there's an Antichrist coming, isn't he? And there's going to be a one-world government, a one-world religion. There's no different. It's past, it's present, it's prophecy, isn't it? And there's nothing anybody can do about it, because the same is true today. There's the world that says, let us. And then there's God's side that says, let us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The let us is against the let us. And God's side wins, doesn't it? Every single time. Before we get into the personal thing, think about that for just a little bit. Let us. When have you said that to God? And he knows it, doesn't he? God could honestly say to every one of us at some time in our lives, you think that you're doing this. You're saying, watch this. Look what I'm going to do. I don't have to be like them. I don't have to do this. I'm different. I can do the things. I remember when I was getting close to driving, my daddy looked at me and says, you just don't know nothing yet, son. You're still under my roof. And I never did test him. I was good. You can ask him when you see him in heaven. I obeyed my daddy. And there's a lot of folks that go away, get away. And it's the same scenario, isn't it? I'm going to do this. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to start this. I'm going to have this. And there's nothing you can do about it. When I get out, I'm not going to church. When I get out, I'm going to, whatever mom and daddy told us we couldn't do. 17, 18, you have kids that are saying, well, I ain't doing that to my kids. They're going to have freedom. You know, how's that worked out for you? Now, we usually go back and say, well, I didn't know they was that smart. Because I'm doing what they did and it's right. But all this to be said, and I won't go too much farther or deeper on this, to say that there's a devil in the world. There's people that follow the devil. There's things in our life that seem so real and so right that are wrong. And we do things knowingly wrong, thinking that God's never going to do anything about it. And that's just not true, is it? Everybody here this morning is building a tower or a part of a church building. And the problem that we have, if you'll turn to James 4, the problem that we have in James 4 is that sometimes the let us in the tower buildings inside the church, where it needs to stay in the world, there's a lot of churches, a lot of preachers that's building the church for the Lord. And we're going to raise money, and we're going to build this, and we're going to see this happen, and we're on and on and on. And it's true, isn't it? It's difficult to distinguish, but once you get it divided up in your heart, everything's good. Look at James chapter 4, and go to verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. Well, I thought that sinning is drugs and alcohol and sex and porn, and that's all sin. But the definition of sin in God's word is for him that knoweth to do good. Do you know what good is? And doeth it not, to him it's a sin. You think those folks knew they were doing wrong? The tower? Sure, they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because God said to go out here and replenish the earth, and we're not going to get scattered. You think they knew good? They did, didn't they? They sinned because they knew to do good, and they did it not. You see, they come to the point just like the people in the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. They said today and tomorrow. They picked the time. When I decide, I'm going to go to a place. I'm going to go to such a city. I'm going to be there a year. I'm going to buy. I'm going to sell. I'm going to get gain. We will do what we want, when we want. We'll get out of it what we want. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And if we were sensitive to God like we should be, this ought to really mess us up, because we're born this way. And kids are like this. You go into any place where there's a couple of maybe 1 and 2 year olds, and pick a toy and find out who's going to get the toy. That's mine. You know? They don't understand. That's their nature, isn't it? And that nature gets hidden a little bit more as we get older, but it's always the same for us, isn't it? And what is sad is we do it in the church. It's sad, but it's true. God is building his church, isn't he? God's not building a tower. He doesn't need to make a name. He already has one. We're his church. He saves us spiritually. He delivers us from hell. He raises us up to walk just the way that we need to walk. And I could spend a whole lot of time on that, because it's true in verse 14. The question is, what's your life? Is your life in buying and selling and getting gain and having your way? Let us go. Let us build. Let us gain. That's not true, because the Bible says your life is just like a vapor. You know what a vapor is, don't you? Put on some tea and watch the steam come out. And tell me where it went. You see it for that much, huh? It's gone. Daddy had an old percolator. He put coffee in the top. It had a little glass top about like that tall and about that big around. And I would watch that. I'd get me a chair and I'd sit on it. Daddy put a lot of coffee in that percolator. And I would watch it, and it would like that. And it would be clear and be a little darker. Then it'd be black. And that was when it was ready and good to drink, that coffee in that percolator. And I watched the coffee till it got black, and then I watched the steam, and I couldn't watch it for long because it was there and it was gone. Right now in your life, you see a vapor more than you ever have, because it's fixing to be gone, isn't it? It's been here for just a little while, and days, like at Nissan, the days are so long, but the years are quick. They really are. And it's a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. And I like this part. This is the last part, the best part. For you ought to say, if the Lord will. Wonder, going back in Genesis 11, if those fellows would have got around and they'd have studied Noah and listened to Noah probably and understood what God was doing in the flood. You think they'd say, well, Lord, we would like to build a city and we'd like to build a tower if it be your will. Well, that's knocked out already by God saying, get over here, go over here, replace the earth. Then they wouldn't ask it, would they? The key between building a tower for yourself and be a part of God's building the church is if it's the Lord's will. I was taught that as a young child, and I've never forgotten. I pray, I study, I teach my kids this, grandkids. If it's your will, Lord. But you see, the problem is most folks stop there and don't ever do anything. Because if you know to do good and you do it, it's God's will. And I've learned that the last month. I got tired and worn out the last 28 years at Nissan. And I know some of y'all told me you felt the same way when you retired. You look back and there's a satisfaction. You made it. You got some money. You got some health. You got some help. You got time. Because it was the Lord's will. It's the Lord's will for people to come to church and hear the gospel and get saved. That's good, isn't it? And we pray, Lord, if it's your will. Well, it is your will to say. Lord, if it's your will, help me to preach the Bible. Well, it is his will. Let's preach the Bible. I'm getting more excited the older I get, especially right now. Because it is the Lord's will, isn't it? For us to help him be a part of building a church and not a tower. You see it in the world right now, don't you? There's a high rate of morality in our government, in our nation right now, isn't there? And it's not God's will to treat kids like we do. It's not God's will for abortion. It's not God's will for mutilation. It's not God's will to tell people that they can go completely against his will and be anything they want. And if you want to be it, we'll make it possible by any surgery that we want. That's not God's will, is it? It's God's will to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, isn't it? And when we do, guess what happened? It's blessed, isn't it? We know to do good and we do it. And God's using it to build. It's his resources. It's his spirit. It's his grace. It's his power, isn't it? But how hard it is to get to church. How hard it is to read my Bible every day. How hard it is to pray to God every day. But that's good. Do you know that it's good to read your Bible? Do you know it's good to come to church? You know it's good to fellowship? If you don't do it, you know what it is? A sin. Right? Very, very, very simple. But so difficult for some reason. There is no potential in men. It doesn't matter if we can use 30% of our brain. It's going to go against God. Because that's the way our nature goes. If there's any potential, it's spiritual. It comes from God, doesn't it? God can raise us up. God can fill us with His Spirit. Good singing. Good praying. Practicing it. It's God's will for people to get better, isn't it? And when we pray for Him to get better and He answers, He's building. And it's endless this morning, the things that I thought about this week. Then I look back and I say, thank you, Lord. As hard as it's been to go up in that place to work all these years, all the driving, all the overtime, all the surgeries, all the pain, everything. God, I thank you looking back right now. I fed my family, paid for two kids' college degrees, taught them how to be parents. Trying to keep my own house in order because you know what? It's good. I knew good and I did it. What about this morning? It's good to be saved. It's good to be right with God, isn't it? Do you know that? But what if you don't do it? It's sin. I've talked to so many people for so many years. They talk about different things they do. And they get mad at me and I don't even say a word. And I say, sounds like your conscience is a little bit hurt, isn't it? You show me in the Bible where it says, I can't do that. And this is the verse I take them to, whatever it is. And some of y'all got the same excuses and I'm not going to expose you because I don't know, don't want to know. But in our heart of hearts, there's a lot of us here that will tell God that there's nothing wrong with that. Is it good? Is it good? If it's not good, and you know it's good, and you do it, it's a sin. And that covers everything every teenager or any child would ever do. The conscience, we have a conscience, don't we? And the verse that I want to show people is show me in the Bible where it says I can't do that. And I say, I read the scripture and I say, tell me what you're worried about, what you're arguing with me about is good. Before God, tell me that. And they won't do it. That's usually the time that we say goodbye. How about us this morning? Isn't this serious? We're talking about God. And we're not building a tower and we're not trying to be politics and we're not trying to make money or be a hero. But we're making a name for ourselves because we don't want that other name. What if you changed? And what if you did good? And what if you was able to stop this and stop that? Wouldn't you feel a whole lot better? Wouldn't you feel a lot closer to the Lord? See, that's what's stopping people. Is deep in their heart, they know. And the greatest way to be a part of building the church with the Lord is even the things that nobody ever knows and could ever find out, just you and God, that you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm going to do that one day. That temptation that the devil's put in my life is to ruin me. I've been trying to hide it. I've been trying to justify it. And the Lord comes down and looks at your tower and He says, you know, there's nothing that this person couldn't do now because they're infected. It's their nature. They got a taste for it. And before long, they're going to do it. And God says, I sent Jesus for that reason, didn't He? Not just to save, but to keep us from those things. Oh, it's just a little bitty sin. Well, don't worry about it. If it's good, oh, don't do that to me. That's what they say. Don't say that to me. I said, I'm saying it to me, to myself. For Him to know to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin, isn't it? If I'm saved, I can still sin enough by disrespecting God and disobeying, not to have fellowship with him. That's what's missing in people's lives, isn't it? Fellowship and love. And it needs to change, doesn't it? And it changes by us realizing, hey, that's not good. Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, I need your help. It may be a relapse from here and there, but we're working on it. I mean, there's physical things we've tried to quit, and we couldn't. But sometimes we can, and we thank God for it, huh? It's good to grow. It's good to have church. It's good to see folks saved. It's good for people to have a clear conscience. It's all good, isn't it? We know what good is. And I'm excited about the next year, because it takes a while sometimes. God gives us the want to and the desire before we get to do anything that's good, because it's for his name and it's for his glory. And when I begin to teach myself by the Bible, and I say, Lord, if it's your will, and it is God's will, we do it. That's the struggle, isn't it? I know what God wants me to do, but Lord, now you need to help me to do it. I know what I shouldn't do, and I know what I need to do. So that led us as me and God now, and you and God, huh? I like that part. This just excited me all week long. When God says to us, let us go down. Let us build. Let us grow. Let us read the scriptures together. Let us go talk to them. I said that to people years ago. Well, we'll be over there. Well, who are you bringing? I said, well, the Lord. We'll be over there. Isn't that good if that was the right thing and it was true? It's good, isn't it? It's good because God says it is. Let us. I like when let us means me and God, because that's when it's awesome. That's when it works. This morning, the tower or the church, you're a part of building one or the other. Which one is it? There's got to be a time, doesn't there? God gives us an opportunity, first of all, to obey him and do what he says, maybe in a quiet way. But then he comes down at the Tower of Babel. You know, he can settle it in an instant, can't he? Unity is what they had, and unity is what they lost. And it had to do with their language. We've got the same scripture. We've got the same spirit. We've got the same word of God that we can understand. That's what makes us have unity as Christians. Not a bigger building, not more money, not more anything, nothing, styles or traditions. But that God's able to come into the church house while we're here, and there's enough unity that it's good, and he can bless it, can he? Today, the Bible says it's the day of salvation. You need to come pray. In just a minute, we're going to sing. You come pray. If you need me to help you, I will. If you need to talk to me some other time, let me know, because I want to help you, because it's good, isn't it? And God said he blessed you. I'll ask you to stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes.